The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Wednesday, first day of August, folks, 2018. And James, before I take a call here, I just want to remind people that Donald Trump is starting to make some noises about the Federal Reserve. And I want to read you a short quote here, because this is really comes down to the heart of the matter. According to Bernard Laitier, a former Belgian central banker who has written extensively on monetary innovation, the real job of central bankers today is to serve the banking system by keeping the debt machine going. This is what he wrote. We can produce more than enough food to feed everybody, and there is definitely enough work for everybody in the world, but there is clearly not enough money to pay for it all. The scarcity is in our national currencies. In fact, the job of central banks is to create and maintain that currency scarcity. The direct consequence is that we have to fight with each other in order to survive. Truer words, ladies and gentlemen, were never spoken. Let me go to, first up, Abdul in Minnesota. Hello, Abdul. Long time no hear from.
Well, thank you for having me on, John. And good evening to you both, Kelso and Mr. Stadtmiller. I just wanted to say that this is the perfect time to speak about stuff that I've spoke about in the past, but is now coming to fruition with this president. And as you know, I did vote for Trump, and the first time I ever voted in my life was for Trump. And this is the very reason I voted for the man, is because of what we're seeing right now. He has passed some legislation that helps not only the black community, but also all Americans, number one. And number two is I believe that Trump wholeheartedly understands that it's about the people. This government and why he was elected was all about the people. And the way we make a change is when we recognize that the government that is being ran right now is ran by bureaucrats and crony capitalists out there that are destroying our country. Mm-hmm. I think that the momentum is shifting towards the people. And it's just up to us to realize how much power we truly have. And I don't think we realize that. And the other point I wanted to make is that the black vote has always been suppressed. And I feel like the media is never truly representing where the black vote is. They don't even talk about the black vote. They would much rather have us believe that it's white versus black, there's race wars and stuff like that. Yep. That's not what's going on in the community that I live in and the people I talk to, especially the black folks. We understand what it means to be an American, and we love our country. And for me personally, my vote was to represent that. Whether people disagree with me or not, that remains to be seen as far as his accomplishments, just like you said earlier, Mr. Stadtmiller, about you know, I'm wary of every president. It's about his action and what he does. And from his pro-life stances to him saying it's all about America and America first and not the immigration and not everything else, that's all side nonsense. And that's really what I want to call about.
Well, Abdul, I appreciate the call. And You know, I'm from Pennsylvania. I was born just east of Pittsburgh. And I can remember as a child, some mornings waking up, and we used to get some hellacious snowstorms. Sometimes you'd look out, and the snow would be up to the hoods of the cars in the streets. And sometimes, if the wind was just right, you'd see this little rusty hue on top of the snow. That was coming from the steel mills in Pittsburgh that used to produce the steel that we made to power our industries, to build our cars, to build our buildings. When Donald Trump started talking about tariffs, when he started talking about taxing the steel imports, people were all up in arms. And you saw the reaction. Oh, this is going to cause an economic crisis, this, that, and the other. No, this is about returning industry back to this country. And eight steel mills are opening up, are open. More are being built. What he's doing is returning the economic engine back to America. I am just blown away what this guy's been able to accomplish in the short time he's been president. And one other thing, when I watched this presentation, I don't know if it was being aired on any other network, but I was watching One American News Network, and I'm sitting there and I'm doing emails and sending stories over to the network, and I glanced up at the TV screen and I looked at Trump. And I thought to myself, he's been in office for, what, almost 2 years now? Where's the where? You've seen president after president after president. They go into office and they come out of office. They look like they've aged 50 years. This guy looks the same.
he looks better.
I think he does. But these are adult – and Abdul, you've heard me refer to it. You've listened to my program. These are the adult conversations that I've always wanted to have happen. All these barriers broken down, the truths be told, and let's get rid of the people that want the status quo. I'm heartened.
If I may, John.
Absolutely.
Hello, Abdul. Thanks for calling. Being from Pennsylvania, I didn't know that about you, John. Donald Trump will be in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, tomorrow in a stadium that will have, what's the name of it? I'll find it in a second here. The Monhegan, I think, Sun Arena. There'll be 10,000 plus people packed in there. There'll probably be 5,000 to 10,000 people outside who can't get in. For the second time, this will be the second time he does it, there will be big screens outside.
Yeah.
So the 5,000 to 10,000 that can't get in will not be left out there. They will get to watch on the screens. That'll be in Wilkes-Barre tomorrow. But think of this, John. You're talking about the youthfulness of Donald Trump. That incredible meeting that he had today with the black pastors in the Oval Office, that meeting would drain any man. But that's just one meeting.
The guy is on full tilt boogie 24/7, and he's not. It's not wearing on him. He is in his element. He's enjoying the hell out of himself. That's what's even. This is not politicians or politics as usual. Here's a guy having fun.
Yeah. And yesterday he was in front of 10,000 people in an arena in Tampa, the roaring, going wild.
Yeah.
Those people were the first to get the TV screens outside. So, folks, if you go to a Trump rally, you're going to see the president live. Those 10,000 people in Tampa yesterday, that event you mentioned, you said you were watching, you didn't know whether the lamestream media was covering. They didn't. CNN yesterday did not even broadcast or cover the Tampa event. And when Jim Acosta, the CNN had a camera there, they had a crew there, but they didn't put it over CNN. This is amazing. A half an hour after Donald Trump got off the microphone and the event was over, half an hour later, Jim Acosta turned on the lights in the CNN booth, and Jim Acosta went on to say, you know, do the report on the nightly news about the event, which they didn't broadcast. Half an hour after the event was over, the crowd in the arena, they were still there, a lot of them, started yelling, CNN sucks. CNN sucks.
I saw the clip. Jim Acosta is there. He's trying to do a remote report from the floor. And they wouldn't let him do it. Abdul, let me ask you just a straight up question here.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, when I watched this today, you know, this has been plaguing me my entire life. It's been on my on my mind as an adult for a lot of years. I saw what was going on in this country. I didn't like it. I didn't know what was needed to stop it and reverse it. When I watched this today, literally, I had tears in my eyes. And I thought to myself, what am I going to do with this? I need to play this. But, you know, well, let me get the guy on the network that is most hated. Ironically, though, his numbers don't trail off that much after my program. So there's a lot of people that want to hear what's going on. And there's not a whole lot of people reporting on what Trump is doing in any detail. But after hearing that today, then, and that was 31 minutes long, how did that affect you? What was going through your mind?
Well, as I listened to what you were playing, and I didn't get a chance to see it live because it wasn't on any network, yeah. But I felt redeemed because I have some of my family members who are Democratic, you know, strong people, and they ask me all the time, like, they ask me about Trump, what I think about his racism and stuff like that, and I look at them like, in my life, I've never had more of an opportunity to find work at a high level. I've never had an opportunity where people were reaching out saying, hey, look, you are qualified to work here and be productive here. I've never had that level until now, the last year or two. And also, I feel redeemed because when I always spoke about voting for Trump and I always preface what I would say to people is that it's never about one man. It's not about a Trump. It is about the people.
Yeah.
And now we are starting to see that come true. The people are awakened. The American spirit is coming, and it's on fire right now. And nothing can stop that. I don't care if it's MSM. I don't care if it's Barack Hussein Obama. And I will say this right now, and I will predict this. We will see an uptick in the rhetoric coming out of the Obama camp and him teaming up with certain black celebrities and going around stumping for the next year and a half to counter exactly what Trump is doing in the black community. Because they know it is over for them if more black people start standing up for themselves and standing up for their historical and ancestral rights and beliefs that we, not just black people, we as Americans built this country to what it is today, the greatest country on earth. That's what I felt like.
I was hoping that I was seeing this with objective eyes, and I was. I just didn't quite know what to do with it, but I'm glad that I had the opportunity to do it on this network, and I'm hoping that we have more good days, more hope. Let's get rid of the crap out there. Let's get rid of the self-interested parties. Let's keep an eye on the status quo people for their career. There's a lot of people who have been hiding behind political careers that really aren't capable of even running a small business, let alone a district with millions or billions of dollars and to do what? These are politicians. That's all that they are. And I'll tell you what, I am heartened. I am definitely heartened. Abdul, I've got a guy here that says he wouldn't mind going on with Abdul still on the air. I've got Lenny in California. Come on up, Lenny.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
First, I'd like to say that I do agree with the gentleman, your co-host there, a guest, who's saying that you can best believe that the programmers would not let this clip see the light of day. If they do, everyone in that room, every so-called pastor in that room, had better prepare to have their lives investigated. Okay, so if they have anything going on, quote, so to speak, under the cloth, they're going to bring it out. They're going to dig it out on them, all right? And another point I want to make is that I like what one of them did be it incidentally or coincidentally, he fired a shot across the bow of Obama when he said that the president before Donald Trump didn't care nothing about black people. In fact, I don't think he cared anything about any people. All right? Mm-hmm. Well, he did care something about somebody in particular because, you know, they got all the benefit from it. But I, for one, never believe when I apply logic, truth, and common sense to any situation that I analyze. I, for one, never believe that this country, after going to war, declaring war on a Muslim country, not necessarily for the benefit of this country, for something else, yeah, or for somebody else, yeah, I never believed not once that a black man with a name that conveniently rhymed with Osama could come out of nowhere and become president of this country. It was convenient time. And if it happened, I forget which president that said it, in politics nothing happens by accident. If it does, you can best believe it was meant to happen that way.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, and I got a few more points to make because this is something I'm very passionate about. And you can see what's going on. You can see what's going on. Then let me just say this. When you have a David Duke in agreement with a Louis Farrakhan, who's in agreement with a Donald Trump, who's in agreement with a Vladimir Putin, I think it's safe to say that the fox now knows that his tail is on fire.
I would say that's a true statement. All righty.
All right.
Okay. So,
well, I'm not done, but let me just say this. You know, the pastors, whether they know this or don't know it, I want to take you back. How many of you gentlemen listening are familiar with the second Star Trek movie, The Wrath of Khan?
I am.
Okay. If you remember, there was a famous quote from that movie, and the sorcerers have their agenda, okay? The evil has its agenda, and that is, even in this so-called Trump Spygate, if things didn't go according to plan, it was conveniently meant to be dumped off on Obama, quote-unquote, and his followers, as the convenient scapegoats anyway.
Well, Lenny, okay. Lenny, there was something else in a Star Trek, and there's many Trekkies out there. It's okay to admit it. One of the things, the socialist and communistic idea that was interjected into one of their movies, it came out of the lips of the logical one, and that was Mr. Spock. Mr. Spock stated, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. And that is absolute poppycock, because if it doesn't work for everybody, how in the hell could it even work for the one?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you get my point.
Yep.
Okay, you get where I'm going with this, and I'm just saying that what has happened, there's a counterbalance to the Whoopi Goldbergs, the negative factors coming out of Hollywood who love their lifestyle and just want to keep living it.
Yep.
Okay, that's been counterbalanced now. I think there's a higher force here at work. Whether people want to believe it or not, there's a higher force. And what we're saying is good versus evil. We're not saying what they're trying to make us see, black versus white. Okay, we're saying good versus evil. And I like where good is right now. It's starting to take its rightful place.
I understand. Lenny, I appreciate it. I'd like to spend the rest of the program with you, but unfortunately I got loaded lines. I thank you. I thank you for your call, sir.
Thank you.
All right. By the way, on Saturdays at 6 p.m. Central Time, there's a program on for an hour called Left to Right. And that's not left to right, R-I-G-H-T. That's left to W-R-I-G-H-T. Why'd you pick that name?
I picked that name because that's how we make America great again. We don't sit on our butts. If you people know the definition of right, the term right comes from shipbuilders, one who builds ships, one who goes to work and works with his hands with wood. That's how we make this nation great, is the right way.
All right. Well, Abdul Rahim Shahid, thank you so much. People tune into a show 6 p.m. Saturday evening. Thanks. I appreciate it, Abdul.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. We'll be back in 3.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We're back. Alan in West Virginia, you're up next. Go ahead.
Hey, John. I got three things I'd like to talk about. One of them is, earlier, you might have mentioned it too, because I just finally got my line back on. It's been storming here. But Mike Rivera was mentioning about the, about them teaching sex and kindergarten and all that nasty stuff.
Yeah.
And I wanted to mention, well, you know what, where that comes from? It comes from all the other encrypted stuff that they've been trying to put in these schools, and it comes from the Jewish community. Exactly where it comes from, because if you're reading the Talmud, it's okay to have sex with 3-year-old kids.
Yeah, and yesterday,
let's not forget about that.
Yeah, yesterday I did a story that a lot of people were not aware of, on how they lobby at state level, and they control curriculum. They wanted to start controlling the curriculum and doing away with certain things printed in books. That's censorship. That's book burning. And by the way, I just want to remind people, I hear this often repeated, Alan, oh, the book burnings in Germany, oh, Adolf Hitler. They never tell you the books that were being burned. It was the ones that the communists had brought in. So just a little bit of history there.
Well, you're absolutely right. And if you look at it, look at where it comes from. It comes from the influence from the Jewish people. Now you're. I have another thing that's going to probably maybe make somebody mad. And your guest there, isn't he a talk show host on your network?
I don't know, Jamie. Is that what you?
I try.
Yeah, he tries. he's only been on this network following my program for how many years?
Total of 10 years.
Yeah, Alan, you must have missed him.
Okay. tell me if I'm wrong, but don't I notice that when somebody tries to bring up to you that Israel or the Jewish has a lot of influence, that you kind of cut them off pretty short?
Are you talking to me or are you talking to James Kelso?
He's talking to me.
I'm talking to you, James.
Okay.
Yes, well, thank you. And that's a good question. What's the best way to answer that?
Well, you know what, James? What you and I were talking about earlier, when I asked you motivations and where did James Kelso come from, you know, this is up to you as to what you want to divulge, what you want to talk about, and how you want to answer questions. But you answered that question satisfactorily to me earlier.
Well, and a caller, forgive me, I forgot your first name.
His name is Alan.
Alan. If I can rephrase your question, tell me if I do it unfairly, is that you're saying I'm being timid or, I'm on the question of Jewish power. And let me say, Alan, I'm not. And my history and so on, there's no history for me of being timid on that Jewish power that has been, you know, there's lots of different kinds of Jewish power. There's good Jewish power. There's bad Jewish power. There are great Jewish patriots, I'll give you a list of them, but some tremendous Jewish patriots. And then there, as we white folks have.
Alan, let him answer you, please. We have the time a well-thought-out answer to your question. Go ahead.
Well, thanks, John. And thank you, Alan. It's a good question. I'm not being timid, and I'm not being, a chicken on the question. But here's when you hear me, what I try to avoid on my radio show, and I can only speak for my radio show and my effort, and I'm like you, Alan. I'm trying to find out, the winning path. On the right, there are some of us who've just gotten carried away with ascribing every evil that's ever occurred, bad weather, acne, you name it, and then this blanket word, the Jews. And I think that's an enormous mistake. And what it does, it's a mistake for this reason. You and I, Alan, we have an obligation to be persuasive to our own people, to put out a good message that works, as Donald Trump says, that wins. It's real important to win, especially when, in this case, the game is for everything, all the marbles. And if we sound unhinged on any question, race is a good one. It's real easy to sound unhinged on the question of race. It's real easy to sound unhinged on the question of Jewish power. I want to avoid that. If somebody comes on with a statement, a blanket statement, Israel believes this. Well, Israel doesn't believe anything. There are millions of Israelis, and they fight with each other like cats and dogs. Jews did this. Well, Jews didn't do anything. There are some. We've had some pretty bad Jewish guys, like Alan Greenspan, head of the Federal Reserve, like Ben Bernanke, head of the Federal Reserve,
Benjamin Netanyahu. You can go through it.
Yes, and by the way, it's a good point. You mentioned earlier, John, that there's some good news coming from Donald Trump on the Federal Reserve. One of the best things, Jerome Powell, who is a white Catholic guy, Jerome Powell was just made chairman of the Federal Reserve Board by President Donald Trump. So this is a real break with that Bernanke Greenspan direction that we had going. So that's a hopeful thing. But to answer your question, Alan, and it's a very good question, radio host Kelso is not avoiding the question of Jewish power. Where is it excessive? Where is it harmful? And there are other people, there are Jewish guys, Alan, who address this question. I'll give you an example. Radio host Michael Savage, he's a very Jewish guy, but he's also a very great patriot. And he also addresses the question of, you know, does he like what Ben Bernanke and Greenspan did? No, he does not at all. And I think that's the right direction to go.
Well,
we don't want to.
Yeah, I'll give you a better example here, Alan. And you can ask Rick Adams about this. Several years ago, Rick Adams, he was doing a Monday through Friday show on the network. And I was driving around one day and I was listening to the callers calling into his show. And what had occurred to me was that the neo-Nazis, the government plants, the I hate niggers and I hate kikes and I hate this and I hate that were calling into his program. And I got on the air with him. I called into my own network, got on his program, and I said, Rick, I said, do you see what's happening here? I said, you got to be a little bit more discriminating here about the message that's going out over your radio program, because it's now carte blanche with every Nazi that wants to go kill a Jew and wear a swastika in the middle of their forehead and shout white power. Mr. Kelso, you can speak to that as well. You know it as well as I do, that the opposition in this country many times has been the controlled opposition for a predetermined outcome. And with that, Alan, I will have to let you go. I skipped a break in order to accommodate you, and especially Mr. Kelso's answer. What I prefer is Zionism. Zionism is the political art of twisting the Jew and then taking it to the nth degree. You've heard me talk about it extensively, the quote-unquote Jewish question. I don't think there's any doubt in the listener's mind, at least to this program, where I stand on that issue. But here again, I do not want to condemn anybody because of where they came from, whether they be Jew, Gentile, whether they be Arab, whether they be this, whether they be that. Because I'll be hung upside down on a bucket of cow doo-doo here. God made us all. And some would argue the devil has been in there twisting the tail. All this hate and chaos and fighting amongst each other, it's got to stop. And it doesn't mean that the truth cannot be told and adults can have an adult conversation about these subject matters without it going the predetermined route. I hope you understand my response. Thank you. John in Missouri. Hello, John.
Hi. James.
Hey, John.
Hey, I think what happened a few Novembers ago is we actually elected an executive who wasn't a politician.
I think, John, excuse me for saying this, but I think that's the best definition of Donald Trump I've heard.
Well, that's why I voted for him. I got a preacher. I didn't need a preacher. My parents taught me morals. I needed an executive.
Yeah, and
unfortunately, we got one who is a real American.
Yes, right, and that's John in Missouri got a big thank you on my show when he did that. He gave the previous best definition of who we elected, and he said Donald Trump's our first real American president. And the audience said, I love that, John.
Well, I'm not going to disinclude Jefferson or Washington or any of those other guys.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. I left out in our lifetime.
Okay. All right.
John specified that. Yeah.
And thank you for your time.
All right. Well, John, I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Bye.
Terry in Houston. Hello, Terry.
Okay. Hi, gentlemen. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, and hear you fine.
Okay, John James. Good to be on your show. We have to celebrate our victories as we can get them. You know, it's amazing what this president's been able to do. We all are kind of so on edge and tuned in, kind of trying to just pick at every little thing, but where we stand in this election process and just the things, the periphery that he's bringing about, turning this huge ship, and it is starting to kick in with big wheels. Amazing.
Terry, I'll speak for myself. I don't think I have full appreciation all of what Donald Trump has done and the direction this whole thing is moving in. I'm still cynical and I'm still critical, and I'm not letting it all in at once. I'm just now starting to digest all this stuff, and it came to a head today after I watched this presentation that wasn't carried on any other network, because Donald Trump, on the other side of that table, they were packed to the walls. Behind the one side of the table, the preachers, back of their chairs, right to the walls with the microphone booms and the cameras and everything else going. After I saw that today, I understood who this guy was. And every man seated at that table said, you know, we were watching you closely. You made political promises. And you said that we would have an ear here. Well, it's just not a sympathetic ear. It's affirmative action. And when I say that, I use the term tongue-in-cheek. He's taking steps to eradicate this stupid Democrat-controlled, let's keep the black man down and let's use them as a political tool. I'm tired of it. You're tired of it. Everybody, and the black community, those that can see, they're definitely tired of it.
It is amazing. That's why I listened to your show. I wouldn't have known about this. I knew that he had met with the black preachers before his election and gave him some, you know, told him that he'd be in their corner. And just to know that he followed up on that and is strong on it just shows his commitment.
Yeah.
Another thing that I've seen behind the scenes is, you know, this younger generation. I would have never thought I'd see 20-year-olds. I have noticed this one gentleman, he's 20, and he's got a black girl in his group that's 20, and these people are so articulate and well-informed. It's worth noting. It's just amazing. They're in the schools now, basically going face-to-face with these students and just being in their face about their disreality. This guy's name, I believe, he's got a group. He started this at 18 years old, calling out the neo-Marxists taking over our schools and our country. This guy's name is Charlie Kirk, and Candace Owens with Turning Point. If you get a chance to go on YouTube, it's unbelievable. They've already met Trump, actually.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. But, again, to bring back blue-collar industry to this country is, in and of itself, worth noting. And,
well,
you know,
And Terry, you hear what you're hearing is either the globalists themselves or their mouthpieces, those that cleave to these globalists. You're hearing the resistance to Trump. When the issue came about him putting tariffs on foreign manufactured goods, he was absolutely right. He was absolutely right in doing so. They had to leave it up to Donald Trump, and here's the executive that's coming in, treating this as a business scenario and going, wait, just hold your horses here. We need jobs in this country. Where was President Bush? Where was Barack Obama? Where was President Bush? Where was Bill Clinton? Bill Clinton and George Bush were the ones that came in and helped engineered the great flight of manufacturing from America. They not only fostered it, they helped pay for it.
Yeah, they welcomed communist Red China into the World Trade Organization.
Yeah.
Right. They were over in Vietnam selling jobs. And
yeah.
It is amazing. You know, another note to point is I was watching this walkaway movement on YouTube, and boy, let me tell you, there's some mad, angry black people going off on Obama and the earlier administrations. And just there was one lady, she was a veteran, took her 7 years to get her benefits through the VA, and she was telling about how this new administration has been put into place. In fact, I saw, I'm not sure who it was in the administration, saying, we're there to watch the new administrators. We're watching everything they do.
Right.
We got a big grant for our military, and a lot of it's going into this new VA system. So hopefully some of these veterans can get some relief.
Well, hey, Terry in Houston, I appreciate your call. We got to keep moving here, but thank you so much. How long have you been listening to my program, by the way?
Oh, long time. I just it's amazing. I try to get people hand cards out. I work in an emergency room in a big hospital, so I talk a lot to sick people and give them health information and political information. So the cards go out quite a bit.
There you go. Well, Terry, thank you. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Wayne in Texas. You're on with James Kelso and John Stattmiller. This is the National Intel Report, in case you didn't know what program this was.
Could have sworn it was the Kelso Show.
Sorry.
But, yeah, hi, guys. I wanted to make a point that really has dawned on me over the last several months here as I've seen Trump in action. And here's what I think that one of his greatest assets is. He knows how to project in his mind what his actions can accomplish. He did it in real estate with some of his buildings and some of the areas he redeveloped. And there, he saw the rise of golf in the American lifestyle. So he's developed and made a lot of money on his courses. And he does what you do, John. You make decisions. You've already projected out in your mind what could very well happen if you hire certain talk shows, hosts, and just get them on board, because you know they have very good points to make. And my take from today's meeting is this, and here's the genius, I think, of this meeting. I think Trump and his advisors know that with this new chairman of the Democratic Party, Perez, that this party is going to be Hispanicized going forward. And look who they're pushing right now, this this moron, Ocasio-Cortez. I mean, some of the stuff she said is amazing. But what's going to have to happen, I think, down the road is blacks have to make a decision. As Perez pushes his Hispanization, blacks are going to have to need a place to take their votes. And I think when they see Trump reaching out to the pastors, low black unemployment and all that, I really believe that you'll see a shift in some of a box of black voters to the Republican as long as Trump's around.
You know, Wayne, I can just point to the fact of Detroit. If the listeners to this program understand the plight of Detroit and what happened to it, not just Detroit, but Grand Rapids, Flint, the American manufacturing moving out, the white flight, as they called it, Detroit back in the 40s and the 50s and part of the 60s was vibrant. They had a lot of money flowing. Their tax base was there, home ownership, community. And then we saw that start to ebb away. And when you see, and you never see this on the news, they will not report to you how skewed or dirty politics or bad economic conditions or bad education can affect what used to be considered one of the crown jewels of this country, Detroit, Michigan. It looks like a bombed out hellhole.
And John, I agree. I grew up in Cleveland. And same thing happened there with the steel mills closing and the auto factories moving, and beautiful areas just turned into third world areas. You know, it was horrible. And that's why a lot of people need to realize, Trump's talking tough on trade, but there is a multiplier effect when jobs come back. When you have a factory job come back, maybe 100 jobs, you're going to have some engineers, some management, clerical and all that. White-collar jobs come with it. And then you have the surrounding community that prospers, stores, restaurants, and everything these factory workers are going to go and shop at.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the genius is there. I mean, it's Trump and his people have projected out what certain new actions can take to help the country going forward.
Well, one other thing, Wayne, I appreciate you bringing that up. Just take the car industry for one. In manufacturing of cars, what they did was get rid of the cost-intensive or labor-intensive jobs. That was making components to build a car. Ford Motor, I'll give you an example. They still make their own engines, transmission, their drivetrains. But everything else is farmed out, and these are done by contracts. They are called suppliers. So I'm speaking to that point that you said about multipliers. It's just not like, say, the auto industry. It's the suppliers. It's the other businesses that support the restaurants, the everything that we used to have. When people had money in their pocket, they would spend that money. They don't have the money in their pocket to spend because the job simply disappeared. And I thank you for your call, Wayne.
Thank you.
All right. Andy,
John,
yes, go ahead,
I'm
James.
Sorry, John. I'm sorry. Just a couple of your callers here have raised a point, and you made a point. You said, we've got to keep this all in view. we have to watch. And the watching, folks, what Mr. Stattmiller is bringing you is a chance to see, to hear, if you can see it, you have a problem, to hear what's going on. Yesterday's event in Tampa, Florida, the huge Trump rally, was not even broadcast on CNN. We covered it right here on RBN. Tomorrow in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, Donald Trump will be in front of a huge crowd. It'll be blacked out of the mass media, but it'll be covered wall to wall at Republic Broadcasting. And this pastor's event that you heard today, John probably got that event heard by more people on his radio network than previously today, John. Yep. You were the man broadcasting that meeting, because the lamestream controlled media, they had that thing in the memory hole. So, folks, this kind of media that you're getting at Republic Broadcasting, let me point to the future here. Donald Trump, this announcement came out yesterday, John. Donald Trump is going to be holding 6 to 7 rallies per week running up to the election, 2018 election. 6 to 7 a week. They're going to be progressively more and more blacked out by the lamestream media.
Yeah.
Look for it here. Look for it on RBN.
And how many golf games do you think he can get in down at Mar-a-Lago if he's doing 6-7 of these a week?
Yeah, and by the way, folks, the Wilkes-Barre rally tomorrow in Pennsylvania, in eastern Pennsylvania, that rally begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, which happens to be the time at 7 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. So we will, that'll be covered on RBN. We'll have all the highlights for you, and watch it blacked out, and watch the crowd yelling at Jim Acosta again that CNN definitely sucks.
All right. He called you on the other line? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Andy in Texas. Go ahead.
Hey, John. Nice to talk to you again. Hey, Mr. Kelso. You kind of gave us the idea that we could call up and just kind of bash Mr. Kelso. I'm not going to bash him. I'm just going to say this. I do find when I do call his show that I have to word my questions in a particular manner in which he doesn't see that I'm kind of bashing Trump. You see what I'm saying? The only thing is I just think that God save the Queen. We got a good president. We got somebody better than anybody I've had in my lifetime. And it's a fantastic thing. But there are things that are displaced that I just don't agree with him on. But then again, how do you take an entire string that's tied into several different knots and untie it in just a year and a few months? I mean, how do you do that? So, I mean, we really have to be patient with this guy. And I'm really a Kelso fan. And, those people who call up and say stuff about Kelso, I have my reserved feelings about Mr. Kelso, sir. And I am talking to you. I'm not talking as though as if you're not in the room. I have reserved things but you always prove to be right. Somehow Donald Trump always pulls the bottom line out and makes it right. And so I got to give kudos to you, Mr. Kelso. I remember I called in after the election. I called in before the election and told you there's no way they're going to let this guy be president. No, they're killing first. Nah. And then I called in and made you tell me I told you so, and you didn't want to do it, but you did it anyway. So I can really appreciate Mr. Kelso. No, I really enjoy listening to your show. I mean, sometimes it's over the top because, you know, I might get bummed out during the day of what he did, and then you'll light me back up when I listen to it. Yeah. And be like, wait a minute, there's a bright point. So, well, I mean, people need to lighten up on you, man.
hey, Andy, what I did notice here about Trump is sometimes he'll take an approach. James, you brought it up earlier to me today with one of his cabinet members, John Bolton. John Bolton is not one of the guys I would have picked for my cabinet, and you made some comments about that.
Yeah, Andy, thank you for the kind words. Appreciate that. And, you know, one thing I love about doing radio is that we develop a relationship. We hosts with you listeners. And so I love the fact that you and I are, you know, we've got a track record. And so I love you too, Andy.
It's all recorded. It's in archives. So
yeah. And the last point you were making, John, I think Trump has. I like the fellow who said he's an executive. John of Missouri, I said that. He's an executive. He gets things done. He thinks of winning. And that includes, by the way, sometimes holding people close to him. You know, what do they say? Keep your enemies close.
Keep your friend. No, that was Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe Stalin. Uncle Joe said, keep your friends close. Or keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer.
Yeah. Well, Donald Trump has hired a few people. And I think these were strategic moves. He hired Mark Short, who just walked out. He quit. Mark Short said, "Hey, look, they're diminishing returns." Mark Short was a Koch brothers man, and the Koch brothers, of course, what a joke. And Donald Trump himself said it in his tweets yesterday. He said the Koch brothers are a joke. Well, Donald Trump hired Mark Short just to give him a chance, give the Koch brothers a chance to redeem themselves. Well, Mark Short turned out to be a neocon, a rhino, a Koch brother. Operative. So Donald Trump gave him a few months. Everybody was very concerned about him. Same with John Bolton. But the point I made with John earlier is this. Donald Trump is his own man. He really is an executive. If John Bolton has lame advice or Mark Short or anybody else, it isn't going to fly with Donald Trump. And Trump's a genius. He's smarter than these guys. So what I say to patriots is, don't worry. If there are a few people around Donald Trump that you despise and that I despise, don't worry about it. They're not the president.
Andy, I think hey, you. Go ahead.
Well, hey, that was going to be my next question. When you seen the entire circumstances of the presidency and all these familiar faces show up, and then all of a sudden we get this guy that we're holding really high, and then all the familiar faces show up again. So I know he's got his own plan. He's doing something incredible here. But I would like to ask Mr. Kelso, could you talk more about these some odd 29,000 sealed indictments or something on your show, or can you talk about the pedophile? That's the one thing I love about Donald Trump is he smacked the hell out of some pedophilia people in this country, and nobody's putting it on TV.
Nobody.
The only people who are telling us about it are you guys.
Yeah. All right. Well, you want to address that?
Thanks, John.
Okay, Andy. Thank you very much for your call.
Yeah, I will endeavor to do that, but we just time constraints right now. John's wrapping up his show, and I don't want to get in the way of that.
Well, no, that's okay. I mean, we've got, 7 minutes here?
And a lifetime.
And I've got one more call. Let me take Fred in Michigan so we can clear the board. Fred, go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Yeah, so here in Michigan, where I lived all my life, the auto industry and Flintstone Leadwater is 95% gone. And, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, when Detroit was in the process of bankruptcy, a dude by the name of Lloyd Goldman Satan Sachs, blank swine scum, blank fines, shows up with Rand Paul at his side, talking about enterprise zones. They're going to carve up Detroit. It's now known as the District of Detroit. Okay? It's like a federal enterprise zone. Now, I remember the Donald boldly proclaiming within recent months, I am a globalist, but yes, I am a nationalist, too. And then that tweaked my memory, fellas, of a guy by the name of Gus Belzer. Gus Belzer was the head of GM's auto sales operations West Coast back in the good old 60s. One day, a Talmudic Jew entourage shows up in his office, says, "Hey, Gus, here's the new deal. You're going to have to concede very significant competitive concessions to foreign automakers," which we Talmudic Jewmeisters just happen to own, like they own all of the private central banks, including communist China. And they now own America's high-tech industry, like you know, Intel. And oh, by the way, Jamie, there's this really super high tech city, Volkolov or something. It's outside, I think it's either St. Petersburg or Moscow. Raytheon. Remember hearing about the super duper high speed cruise missile system? Well, Raytheon, Intel, et cetera, they all set up shop.
But Fred, can I ask you a question?
Facility, okay. In Russia. Can I ask you,
Fred? Hang on.
I got a
second.
Question for you.
Hang on.
You're giving us a litany of pronouncements, but I would like you, if you would, the this is what I do. You and I have talked on my show, haven't we, Fred?
Yeah, you've always cut me down.
I'm sorry, but here's what I would ask. This is the kind of thing I ask, you call it cutting you down. I would say, please give me a point. Give me a subject, a verb, and an object, you know, that Trump did this or Trump didn't do that. And then let's talk about that specific point. And the reason I say that is that radio is short. There's I have 1 hour in my show. And so I've got to. Well, I want you to get to a point.
I've got two, and we're out of time.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Fred, I thank you for your call. James, we got to wrap up. What do we got here? About a minute. Yeah.
Yes,
about a minute.
If I may, just take 10 seconds to sum up. Part of the beauty of this show, John, is that folks, you heard a living demonstration of the value of RBN, which is your baby. You created it, John. A living demonstration. You got directly from Donald Trump's lips to your ears, and from those black pastors' lips to your ears, you got the truth so that you could process it and evaluate it for yourself. The mainstream, lamestream, controlled media won't do that. So this very hardy band, a very small band of people like John Stattmiller, who pledged their lives to giving you actual real media, boy, this is your time, John. This is when you're needed. This is when the memory hole goes into overdrive, and the way people can get truth is in a place like this.
And you and I had the conversation earlier. You know what I'm working toward, and
yes.
I'm by no means done yet. It's a good start. It's a good start, but we're not going to rust on our laurels here. What we need, I'm sorry, James, what we need is your financial support, because I guess this trickle-down stuff, yeah, people are going back to work, but we still cannot get advertising. Hopefully that's going to free up in the last 6 months of this year, maybe heading into next year, but we're dependent on your contributions. Folks, it's the end of the first day of the new month. And I still got outstanding bills from last month. We're always running close to the vest.
Please tell the folks, John, that a show not as good as yours, but okay, is coming up next.
You have been a blessing and you've been a curse, Mr. Kelso, but I'm going to tell you this, you were necessary.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you, James. I appreciate it very much. All right, folks, that'll do it for us today. And I'm serious. That was a serious note. I mean, the bank accounts are empty. We got bills to pay to stay on the air, and we're not done. This country's not done. I'm not done. There's a lot of ignorant people still out there, and I mean that by lacking the facts. Help us continue our mission. Contribute to the network, please.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.